everything in it. Keep the diamond ring, cause that's how I meant it. Sticks and stones are all they ever were to me. This material life with all its value don't mean a thing to me without you. The love that we once had is all I need. So take everything we have if it makes you happy. But darling, let me say before I leave, these sticks and stones have a dime between us. You took my hand and said we don't need much, just as long as we're together, we would be fine. Now we've acquired all I thought would please you. I gave everything you know that I could, and still you're telling me you're not satisfied. Everything we have, if it makes you happy. But darling, let me say before I leave, these sticks and stones ain't all that makes a home. They don't have arms to hold you when love goes wrong. But the words you said just tore my heart in two.
The entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand. Real Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump rolled to victory in South Carolina's Republican primary. He's the first ever non-incumbent to win Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. ABC political director Rick Klein has more.
Almost everything went right for Donald Trump. This was a blowout. We talked about closing the gap. We went from about 11 points in New Hampshire to more than 20 in the final tally in South Carolina. A couple of counties, only 3 out of 46 carried by Nikki Haley, even though she was governor of that state.
Haley says she will stay in the race. Through his campaign, President Biden released a statement condemning Trump, saying he, quote, opened the door to strict abortion and IVF bans. U.S. and British forces carried out strikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. They hit 18. Meanwhile, talks in Paris continue on a possible Israel-Hamas ceasefire. Up to 40 hostages will be released in exchange for 300 prisoners held in Israel. This is ABC News. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin have come under scrutiny for the environmental impact of their production. For one community in Texas, the bigger concern is noise pollution. ABC's Mike Dubusky explains.
Making a Bitcoin is noisy. very similar to a rumbling.
DL News reporter Liam Kelly says one Bitcoin mine in Granville, Texas, uses over 80,000 of the noisy machines, and the surrounding community says they've felt the effects.
From migraines, nosebleeds, vertigo.
Marathon, the company that runs the mine, has built a 24-foot wall along part of the facility, which residents say hasn't helped. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Oppenheimer was a big winner at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Christopher Nolan's biopic won Outstanding Cast, while Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr. won Acting Awards. Lily Gladstone won Best Female Actor for Killers of the Flower Moon. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Asante came to TurboTax after graduating from culinary school and landing a job in the hottest kitchen in town.
My hands are full all day, every day. I love it.
Asante, as your TurboTax expert, I'll make your moves count, guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and your maximum refund. Sound good?
Yes, expert!
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Wake up! Breakfast. And Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Planning for retirement and your family's future should not keep you up at night. I'm Tyler Schroyer of HighQ Wealth Management. From Roth IRAs and 401k rollovers to life insurance needs and purchasing CDs, I strive to add value to your financial and retirement picture. Visit HighQWealthManagement.com or stop at my office on 3rd Avenue West in Durand to schedule an appointment. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance offered through HighQ Wealth Management, LLC, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see clouds thinning a bit, especially as we get into the late afternoon. Highs in the lower 50s, a light northwest wind. Tonight, partly cloudy skies developing with lows in the lower 30s. On Monday, sunshine and breezy with south winds up to 30 miles per hour. Highs in the mid-60s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Right now, it's 34.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Don't rock the jukebox, wanna hear some Jones, 'cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song. Before you drop that quarter, keep one thing in mind. You got a heartbroken hillbilly standing here in line. I've been down and lonely ever since she left. Before you punch that number, could I make one request? Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones, 'cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song. Ain't got nothing against rock and roll, but when your heart's been broken, you need a song that's slow. There ain't nothing like a steel guitar drown a memory. Before you spend your money, baby, play a song for me. And don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear George Jones, heart ain't ready for the rolling stone. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song. You don't rock the jukebox, play me a country song.
Continues on Sunday morning. Glad you're with us. Here's Parkwood Home in Burnertown.
A goodbye strung out on the lawn. The line between us was drawn. All I can see is you're gone and you left me. House on this ground, burn it down. I leave my memories inside, and that bed we loved in all night. Every word, every fight, every feeling.
Keeping advertising dollars local. We're Real Country. 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
Mind if I sit down? Can I buy you around? Haven't seen your face before. Are you new in town? It's the same old line, oh, every time. Are you here alone? Can I take you home? Now every woman sings with every pretty place. There's a pair of flying eyes and a set of
Sizzle, we're Country Fried. We're Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Hey girl, hey, where are you going? Come back and sit back down. You look too good to be heading home so early now. You say you gotta work tomorrow, got a lot on your mind. Let me buy another round, girl. I think you and I should just drink on it. Put our heads together and think on it. Maybe later on we can sleep on it. But for right now, girl, we just need to drink on it. We can talk rocket science, Jesus or politics. How your boyfriend cheated on you, man, I'd like to bust his lip. I could use another whiskey and your cosmos getting low. While we're trying to figure out the next place we should go, we can drink on it. Put our heads together and think on it. Maybe later sleep on it, but for right now, girl, we just need to drink on it. This place is closing down, but I don't want. Good thing going, girl, let's find out what it is.
place of mine, girl, we can drink on it. Dust off a bottle and drink on it. Feels like we're doing something right. Let's find a corner of the night where you and I can just drink on it. Put our heads together and think on it. Maybe later on we can sleep on it. But for right now, girl, we just need to drink on it. Make a memory that we won't forget. So let's just drink on it. Drink on it.
Blake Shelton and Drink On It. So making $100,000 a year won't get you very far in some big cities. And according to a new study, research from Smart Asset looks at cost of living data and finds that U.S. cities where $100,000 salary is worth the most and goes the farthest. Topping the list, El Paso, Texas, where that six-figure income equates to about $88,000 purchasing power. The city where $100,000 is worth the least is Manhattan in New York, where the effective value is $30,000 after adjusting for federal, state, and local taxes.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Hello?
Sherry, guess what? I sold my house in 4 hours.
No way.
My realtor wanted to reduce the price, but I told her having fiber optics all the way to my home can increase the value by $5,000.
And?
I got my full price.
Wow.
Fiber optic broadband was a must-have for the buyers because they telecommute.
I need fiber optic broadband for our house.
You do. Just call 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom at 715-231-2000.
Sneezing, coughing, stuffy nose, runny nose, post-nasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
Navage gave me instant relief. I didn't have to wait 30 minutes. I didn't have to wait an hour, 90 minutes. I didn't have to wait a minute. I ran the rinse and I felt better.
Stop suffering from congestion and start breathing and feeling your best again with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
I've had people ask me how I find relief, and I tell them Navage immediately. This thing is amazing.
Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
Wings are here.
Oh, from?
No, I'd never order from anymore. Popeyes now has wings in 5 flavors. Ghost pepper, roasted garlic parmesan, sweet and spicy, signature hot, and honey barbecue. Marinated in Louisiana spices, hand-battered and flipped. Makes no sense they're $5.99 for 6 pieces. Taste them.
Mmm, crunchy outside.
And juicy inside.
Consider me a convert.
That's the most romantic thing you've said to me all month.
We don't make sense. We make chicken.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Price may vary.
Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
10. Nice work.
Thanks. Taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas, right?
Yes.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yes. Nugenix is a great way to feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And as Frank says, she'll like it too.
Text ROCK to 369-369 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Text ROCK to 369-369. That's ROCK to 369-369.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
coming over tonight. Are coming over tonight. Coming over tonight.
Against you, girl, get back in bed.
I feel lucky. I feel lucky, yeah.
No Professor Doom gonna stand in my way. I feel lucky today. Well, I strolled down to the corner, gave my numbers to the clerk, the pot's 11 million, so I called in sick to work. I bought a pack of Camels, a burrito, and a Parks. Crossed against the light, made a beeline for the park. The sky began to thunder, wind began to moan. I heard a voice above me saying, girl, you better get back home. But I feel lucky. I feel lucky today. Now 11 million later, I was sitting at the bar. I bought the house a double and the waitress a new car. Dwight Yoakam's in the corner trying to catch my eye. Lyle Love is right beside me with his hand upon my thigh. Moral of the story is simple but it's true. Hey, the stars might lie, but the numbers never do. I feel lucky. Oh, 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 I feel lucky, yeah. Hey, Dwight, hey, Lyle, boys, you don't have to fight. Hot dog, I feel lucky tonight. I feel lucky today. Woo!
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Hello, welcome to our WRDN radio audience. We are here at First Baptist in Durand, and we are taking our Bibles and turning to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are going to focus on verse 9, but I'd like to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. So 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Father, we pray that you would bless the teaching of your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Again, the context, first century, we're looking at 64 A.D., and in a short time, Nero would set the city of Rome on fire. He would blame the Christians, and for the next 200 years, believers would face fiery persecution from government officials, from business people, and from even Jews. So as we look at this, we want to highlight who these believers were and the opposition that they faced. You see, they were different. The Jews didn't want them. Orthodox Jews had rejected Jesus, and they had rejected Jesus' followers. And the Romans looked at them, and they said, you are strange. You do not have a temple like the Parthenon or like the Greek temples. You are strange. You don't have a priesthood. Even pagan religions had their priests and their oracles that would tell them the future. And he said, you don't even bring sacrifices when you worship. You are so strange. And to counter that, we have here specifically in verse 9, Peter who says, and this is the title of our study this morning, A Distinctive People. A distinctive people. And so in the eyes of the intellects, and the eyes of those that were religious, and in the eyes of Jews, Christians were like spiritual hobos, ragamuffins. And to counter that, Peter tells them that they are a distinctive people. And there are two words that sum up that statement. Number one, they were a privileged people. They were a privileged people. And verse 9 highlights four different privileges that those that know the Lord had, that those that did not know him did not possess. And what is the first privilege here? Well, it says here in verse 9, they are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. And I know some people flee from that word chosen. They flee from the word election, but it is found over 25 times, predestination, election, chosen, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God puts his mark upon those that love him. He has selected them to have a relationship with him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now there are five blessings that we cannot overlook as we consider the subject of election. One, it is the most pride-crushing truth in God's Word. It is the most pride-crushing truth in God's Word, that God has elected you to know him. You see, it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the text you've memorized, I've quoted, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Election just is a pride-crushing doctrine. Man does not like it. You know, back in the 4th century, there was an individual by the name of Pelagius who was an advocate of asceticism, which was a movement that promoted self-denial even to the point of harming one's body. This is what Pelagius said. He said, "Man is perfectly good and can equally choose the good or the bad." He even said, "Some people are sinless." "Man is not born in original sin," he taught. "And when Adam fell in the garden, he injured no one but himself." Augustine, the 5th century believer, well known in the scriptures, vigorously opposed Pelagius, and there were three great gatherings of believers, one in 418, one in 431, and one in 529, that refuted the damnable teachings of Pelagius. But it rubs the doctrine of election. You see, God chose us not because there's anything good in us. He said that there is something good in us. The Bible says, "For all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It is the most pride-crushing truth in God's Word. Number two, it is the most God-exalting doctrine in the Word of God. Election is the most God-exalting doctrine in the Word of God. There's a Latin phrase that was used quite frequently, not in our day, but years ago. It's called sola Deo, two Latin words, which means it is all of God. Our salvation is all of God. Man has not contributed even a smidge to what God has done. Number three, election is the most motivating verse to live a holy life. It is the most motivating verse to live a holy life. It encourages us to hit that restart button every day as we get going when we find out we are not where we should be or we are not doing what we ought to be doing. And we go back to 1 John 1, 9. Number four, it's the most strength-giving doctrine in the Bible. It offers believers genuine peace no matter what the circumstances are. God has chosen me. And number five, it is the most joy-producing truth in the Scriptures. It provides a sweet hope in a very sinful world. We are a chosen generation. We are not spiritual nobodies, as the world might look at us. No, we don't have a big temple in Jerusalem. No, we don't have a big temple in Athens. We don't have a big temple in Rome. But we have a God who is in heaven. Second of all, we're not only a chosen generation, but we are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Now, the scripture tells us that a priest is a representative of God to man, and that's what each and you and I are. But not only that, we are a representative of man to God as well. Amen? Yeah. Now, the Bible tells us here we are a royal priesthood. So, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, we have the father of Israel, Abraham, coming back after a successful battle against those that had kidnapped Lot and others with him from the battle of overrunning Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham returns with his men, he stops in Salem, which is Jerusalem. It's an old ancient word for Jerusalem. It says in verse 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes," that is, Abraham gave him tithes of all the blue booty or plunder that he got from these kings, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, if you were to translate it, okay? He was a king of righteousness. He was a priest of the Most High God. He was the king, a royal individual, but also he was a priest. All right? And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are a royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, because we're related to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have access to him as a priest. But not only that, the scripture tells us quite plainly that one day we are going to rule with him in the millennial kingdom. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we are part of a unique order of individuals that have access to God. Now, think with me, if you would, what your chances would be of being a priest if you were an Israelite back in the Old Testament. Number one, out of the 12 tribes, you'd have to be born in the tribe of Levi, because all the priests had to come from the tribe of Levi. But not only that, the priests themselves had to be physical descendants of Aaron, who was Moses' brother. Remember that? Yes. Okay, so you have a group that comes out from the descendants of Aaron, and they would serve in the tabernacle, offering the sacrifices, moving the tabernacle when they needed to go, from one point to another, carrying the tabernacle furniture. But out of all of those priests, there was only one that was selected to be the high priest. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would your chances be of being someone like the high priest? Slim to none. But he was the one who was allowed access to God in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. He could go into the very presence of God. But yet, that is what God has enabled us to do by being a part of who he is here on earth. We are a royal priesthood. Not only that, it says here we are a holy nation. All right, that is a third privilege that we are given. A holy nation, a people who have been set apart for God. He said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, he says, "You shall be to me a holy nation." Jerry Bridges wrote a book some years ago called The Pursuit of Holiness. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or you've read it. But he said this in his book. He said, "One day as I was reading I was reading the second chapter of 1 John, and I realized that my personal life's objective regarding holiness was less than that of John's. He was saying, in effect, make it your aim not to sin. And Jerry Bridges is a very transparent person. He says, I thought about this and I realized that deep within my heart, my real aim was not to sin very much. He says, that's like a soldier going into battle saying, I hope I don't get hit very much. totally unrealistic. God has saved us that we might be holy, that we might be separate. Not to be different just for different sake, but to be different for God. And the closer you get to God, the further away you see this world is to God. They are to be a holy nation. And then number four here, it says that they are to be a peculiar people. A peculiar people there. Four privileges that they have here. They are a chosen generation. They are a royal priesthood. They are a holy nation. They are a peculiar people. Now, as we look at that, the word peculiar here could be translated for one's own possession. For one's own possession. Man, doesn't that make you feel special? For one's own possession. You are a peculiar people. For God's own possession. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. You know, often the value of something lies in who possesses it. I don't know if you've ever been to Washington, D.C. And gone through the Smithsonian Institute museum there, or maybe you've gone to a museum in Milwaukee or in Minneapolis, and you would see a valise or a briefcase that was once belonging to Abraham Lincoln, or for some of the ladies, maybe they would see a purse that would belong to Eleanor Roosevelt or something like that. Or if you were in Britain, you'd see maybe the walking cane of Winston Churchill. Now, the value of that object lies in the fact that someone possessed it. Something very ordinary becomes of great value if it has been possessed by a famous person. And we see that many times when someone passes away and things are auctioned off. Our value is not in ourselves, but it's in who possesses us. And that is in God, in Jesus Christ. We are owned by Him. We are His own possession. So we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. And the Bible tells us that these come under the umbrella of being privileged. We are very, very privileged spiritually. May not be so in the world, may not be honored, may not be recognized by those that do not know the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Colossians that our life is hid with Christ in God until our Savior returns. So we are a distinctive people. We are, first of all, privileged. And the second word that we want to look at as we define that term distinctive is that we are passionate. We are a passionate people. And the scripture tells us here how that works. In the latter part of verse 9, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what? We're passionate about letting people know about our God. We're passionate about that. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Speaks about people who are showing forth the praises of God on the day of Pentecost. Do you remember that? It says that we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And the Bible tells us that God has called us to show forth His praises, to tell other people personally what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now we can read biographies and we can talk about great Christian leaders and great Christian speakers, but people are not impressed by that, but they are impressed by what you tell them concerning the person of God. We had a company come out to our house on Thursday and they cleaned our furnace ducts. It's an older house. The ducts have never been cleaned. And there was a team of three guys came out, Bob, Larry, and Travis. Bob owns the company. Real nice people. And when they were all done, we were very happy to see them load up all their machines and everything like that. And I handed each of them a gospel tract. And I said, here, guys. I says, this is something that will help you know this God. He has changed my life. And they're all polite. They all took the gospel tract. They thanked me. And later when I paid Bob, he says, you know, I did the Reformed Church in Baldwin. They're looking for a pastor. Are you interested? I said, no, I'm very happy where I'm at. But I wanted to tell them about God. And I mean, you know, we have a plaque of the Ten Commandments on our living room wall. We have a picture of George Washington, the first president of the United States, commander-in-chief, kneeling by his horse in prayer. We have other little things around our house that kind of tip people off that we're serious about the things of God. But to be able to give them personally some information that changed my life immensely, that was an honor. That we should show forth the praises of Him that hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous, marvelous life. There's a fellow by the name of Joseph Aldrich, who a number of years ago also wrote a book called Friendship Evangelism. Not sure if you're familiar with it, but there was quite a storm, quite a controversy when that thing was published. But it centered on this. He said, basically, take time to make friends with people before you share who Christ is. Okay? Sometimes you can do that and sometimes you can't. Okay? Sometimes you just need what is called confrontational evangelism. That's it. You're not going to have another opportunity to see him again. But there are other times when you have opportunity to build some very important bridges, which will open some very important doors for you. But this is what he said in his book, Joseph Aldrich, Friendship Evangelism. God's evangelistic strategy in a nutshell. He desires to build into you and into me the beauty of His own character and then put us on display. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. The driving desire in our life as a Bible believer, if you know Christ, is to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We might not be successful like we'd like to see more come to Christ. We'd like to, you know, have stellar testimonies every time we come to church about witnessing and seeing people turn to God. But the fire is there. Your life has been changed by Jesus Christ. And yes, sometimes it seems as though it's smothered. But it goes on and on and on. And if we're right with God until the day we die, we're going to want to tell people about the Lord. I remember Mrs. Severson, who passed away at Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire a number of years ago. She was dying there in a deathbed. And she was a shut-in for several months, several years actually, before she passed and God took her. She wasn't able to get out and see people much. But she said to her nurse once, she says, did you know that Jesus died for you? and that he loves you. That was her dying passion right until she left this life. Now it says, who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, there's several kinds of darkness. There's the darkness that comes from up here. We're supposed to have a light bulb up here, but that light bulb is not working properly because of the fall and because of sin. And people do not even recognize truth when it's presented to them. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where our mind is darkened, our intellect is darkened. And not only that, there is a moral darkness as right as well. We're living in that age. People don't know the difference between what is morally right and morally wrong any longer. And when you come to the light, Jesus Christ, John 8:12, he says, behold, I am the light of the world. I am the light, not a light, but I am the light. The definite article in front of that. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. You know, you get saved, you recognize, man, you look around you and you see the spiritual condition of other people and you say, I didn't think they were as bad as they really are. And of course, you say to yourself, I didn't think I was as bad as I really was. But I was, and even worse than that. God has called us out of darkness unto himself. And it's a marvelous light. It produces a sense of awe, wonder, surprise, astonishment in us as well. So, these believers there in the first century almost looked like spiritual orphans concerning those that were steeped in Judaism, those that were steeped in the paganism of Greece and Rome and polytheism and others. They didn't have a temple, but their bodies were the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And they were being put together as a spiritual house, according to verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Collectively, that's what they were being made. Far superior to anything that man's hands could assemble. Their high priest? No, they didn't have a visible high priest as Annas and Caiaphas, anything like that. No, their high priest had ascended into heaven and is seated right now at the right hand of the throne of God, and he makes intercession for us, according to Hebrews chapter 1. And did they have sacrifices that they brought? No, not like the Jews brought yet to Jerusalem, because the temple in Jerusalem was still standing until 70 AD. They had different kinds of sacrifices. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. They were a different people, and not only that, the fruit of their lips was to be a sacrifice. And there were a number of other sacrifices that they offered, spiritual sacrifices that they offered to God. They were a distinctive people. They were a privileged people. And they were a passionate people. And that is who you are, and that's who I am as well.